As I headed out the door, my wife said, "John, knock him dead." And I said, "I have no intention to do so. I mean only to remind them that they will soon." I'll get there, but I want to begin in a slightly different place. The problem of attention, or more precisely, our inability to sustain attention, may prove to be the defining problem of this part of the 21st century. A great many of us are finding that we are unable to stick with anything for more than a few minutes, or even seconds at a time. Our attention has become terribly fractured. In his relatively new book, Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention and How to Think Deeply Again, Johann Hari offers the following sobering information. And this is the quote. A small study investigated how often an average American college student actually pays attention to anything. So the scientists put tracking software on their computers and monitored what they did in a typical day. They discovered that on average, a student would switch tasks once every 65 seconds. The median amount of time they focused on any one thing was just 19 seconds. If you're an adult and tempted to feel superior, hold off. A different study by Gloria Mark, professor of informatics at UC Irvine, observed how long, on average, an adult working in an office stays on task. It was 3 minutes. 3 minutes. By the way, please don't ask me after the sermon how many times I checked Facebook, Twitter, and my 4 email accounts while preparing this sermon. The problem is corrosive. It is diminishing our personal lives and damaging our capacity to address the critical problems of our time. We find ourselves unable to get through a book, pay attention to our children, and otherwise accomplish meaningful goals. And again, a longer quote from Hari. This fracturing of attention isn't just causing problems for us as individuals, it's causing crises in our whole society. As a species, we are facing a slew of unprecedented tripwires and trapdoors like the climate crisis. And unlike previous generations, we are mostly not rising to solve our biggest challenges. Why? Part of the reason, I think, is that when attention breaks down, problem solving breaks down. Solving big problems requires the sustained focus of many people over many years. Democracy requires the ability of a population to pay attention long enough to identify real problems, distinguish them from fantasies, come up with solutions, and hold their leaders accountable if they fail to deliver. If we lose that, if we lose our ability to have a fully functioning society, close quote. Now you might be wondering, John, what does any of this have to do with Ash Wednesday? Just about everything. Nothing is more likely to focus the mind than being told, John, you're going to die. You don't have forever. You cannot keep living as if you will. You cannot afford to flit about in a state of constant distraction. The sobering truth of mortality has been on my mind since I started reading a book, which I haven't finished because of my fractured attention, called 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. It's a great book. In the book, Oliver Berkman asked a lot of his friends, so how many weeks do you think there are in an average human life, given average life expectancy? His friends gave wildly unrealistic answers, answers that would amount to the whole of human civilizational history. But when he did the math, the actual answer was shockingly small, 4,000 weeks. 4,000 weeks. By my count, I've already lived about 2,900 of those. Most of my time is up. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. A sobering word. Sobering, but also indispensable, honest, and grounding. We live our lives caught up in a web of lies. They are beyond number. The poor are poor because they are lazy. The rich are rich because they are industrious. Might makes right, Mr. Putin's favorite lie. Your worth depends on how much you earn. You can postpone death indefinitely by eating right, doing downward dog, and taking up transcendental meditation. There is not enough time in the world to list even a few of the most significant lies that shape our lives. On Ash Wednesday, we come to church to hear someone tell you the truth. You will die. Okay, but then what? What comes after this bracing splash of cold water? Well, you might then hear these verses from Matthew with an open heart. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, there's one very problematic way to hear those verses. You might mishear them as saying, oh, we were just kidding about all that dust-to-dust stuff. Fooled you. You really aren't going to die. You aren't mortal at all. Only the body perishes. Focus on the soul, which will live on forever in heaven. So put something in the bank for your eternal retirement plan. Store up treasures in heaven. You're going to be up there a long time. Whatever Christians mean by resurrection, dearest, it cannot mean that. It does not mean do not take death seriously. It does not mean that we can fritter away what Mary Oliver called your one wild and precious life. That is not what Jesus is telling us. I hear Jesus asking us a hard and honest question. Given that you have just this one precious life, to what will you attend? Attention. What will you give your heart? What will you treasure? Are you giving your hearts to something that has half a chance of enduring? Something that the moths and the rust can't get at? For Jesus, there is only one way to answer that question. Give your heart to God's heart. Your heart will stop beating, but God's sun-sized heart, never. If your heart is in tune with the heart of the eternal, then you will have given your lives to something worthy, something enduring, something imperishable. And what might that be? Hear these words from Isaiah. Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Isaiah tells us that God's boundless heart beats for justice. The divine heart longs to break every yoke. In this Lenten season, may God empower us to surrender everything that fractures our attention, divides our heart, and calls us away from God's boundless love for justice. Grant to us, O God, an undivided heart, rooted and grounded in your own undying and loving heart. Teach us how to pay attention, which, after all, is just another word for love. Amen.